For the time being.
Yeah.
They get another 13 then.
Right. Well, I'm going to be preaching on Sunday because he's going to be gone, so. All right, please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. We're actually just going to be focusing on the second half of verse 2 and verse 3, but I wanted to read verse 1 as well so that we have a little bit of a context here. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. This passage and the verses after focus on James is condemning his readers for their worldly attitudes and their focus on wealth and material possessions and wanting to have the stuff of this world. But in these short verses, he reveals some interesting things about prayer. And we've covered a lot about prayer, and I thought that this would be good to close about having, you know, why answering the question, why sometimes God says no. He says two separate things about prayer that I think are interesting. The first one is really a tragic kind of thing. He says, ye have not because ye ask not. It reminded me of when God, through the prophet, condemned David for taking Uriah's wife. And the prophet reveals, he says, speaking for God, he says, I gave you all these things. I gave you the throne of Israel. I gave you all this wealth, all this power. And he says something to him that was amazing. He says, and if that had not sufficed you, I would have given you more. And yet here he takes one small thing, you know, the one thing that this man has to truly call his own. And I think how often have Christians, because of their failure to take advantage of prayer, how often have Christians gone without the needful things of their life and they're struggling because they haven't gone to God and said, Lord, please help me. Please meet this need. I saw one of my children struggling, and I was wanting to teach them something, so I didn't intervene. I waited. They were struggling to do something, and they started getting upset. I said, why are you getting upset? And they said, because I can't do this. I said, have you asked for help? And they're like, no. I said, well, maybe you should ask for help. And so they said, Daddy, would you help me, please? And I said, of course I'll help you. And then I showed them how to do it. Talked them through it. You know, God is the sole provider, and we talked about that previously, and we need to know that and be reminded of that. And so sometimes God withholds blessings from us that he'd like to give us because we don't ask. What would it do to us if he just always gave to us and we never acknowledged who they came from? It would make us take him for granted and be ungrateful.
As if that was the nature of things, just to supply our desires.
Right. Yeah. I always tell the children after dinner, I'll tell them, have you told mommy thank you for her hard work? Or if they start to say, I stop them, I said, no, those aren't the words you're thinking of. What you should be saying is, thank you, mommy. I said, food isn't about liking. Food is about making your body strong so that you can serve God and others. The liking is an extra that we can enjoy. I said, but that's not why we eat. So sometimes God withholds from us what he would like to give us because we don't ask. We take him for granted. You know, Romans chapter 1 has the path of, what I like to call the path of degeneration. I probably got that from someone else, but I don't remember. But it's a series of verses that right at the beginning, it says that they did not acknowledge God as God, neither were thankful. God gives us so much and we never say thank you. I remember one time I was talking about gratitude and ingratitude, and someone asked me, they said, well, what's ingratitude? And I said, that's when you complain that your leg hurts and you never told God thank you for having a leg. Didn't have to give it to you. He gave it to you. And all you do is complain that it aches. Could have withheld the leg, and then you wouldn't have been able to walk. I was dealing with some guy who was talking about it being unfair that, you know, some people have more than others. And I said, yeah, those stupid birds. He goes, I'm sorry, what? I was like, those stupid birds, they get to fly. I'd like to fly. I think it'd be really nice, but I don't get to fly. That is so unfair. Or the whales. Man, they can hold their breath so long. They can go under the water. They can go really deep. They can go wherever they want. I can only go under the water for a little bit, and I'm running out of air, and then when I open my eyes, it makes my eyes sting. It's just not fair. He goes, it's not the same thing. I said, sure it is. I said, you have all these blessings, and you're looking at other people who have more than you, and you're saying it's not fair. If anybody has a right, if that has any sort of legitimacy to it, then the person who has the right to say unfair is the fly, because they have to eat poop for their life. And they lived, what, 24 hours? I said, you're just ungrateful. God didn't have to give you life. God didn't have to give you health. God didn't have to give you the ability to see color or to hear sound or to taste different tastes. My sister-in-law who's living with us, she can't smell. She has no sense of smell at all. You may not think that's a big deal, but I challenge you, next time you go to eat a meal, before you put a single thing in your mouth, plug your nose and hold your nose the entire time you eat. And you'll find out how much your sense of smell is a part of your enjoying food. Not only that, but she told me, I mentioned to her, I was like, you know, they put additives in natural gas so that you can smell it if there's a leak. And she said, yeah, I'm never going to live somewhere that has natural gas because I won't know if there's a leak. You know. But she never complains about not being able to smell. She's never heard her once say, you know, this is unfair that I can't smell and other people can't. She doesn't get to smell the roses. She doesn't get to smell the yummy smell of baking pie.
Or bacon.
Hmm?
Or bacon.
Yeah, or bacon, yeah. She doesn't get all those things. Her enjoyment of the world is much smaller than yours, but she's thankful for what she's been given. And so this is why God says, sometimes I'm going to withhold things from you because you don't ask. You know, Jesus told his apostles, his disciples, he said, ask for your daily food. Don't take that for granted. Ask God for what you need every day. Don't take him for granted. The second thing he warns them against in their prayer life is, he says sometimes they don't have because they ask for the wrong motive. So sometimes they don't get what they want because they don't ask. They could have asked, but they didn't. But sometimes they don't get what they want because they did ask, but they asked with the wrong motive. The Bible here says that they may consume it upon their lusts. That's why they didn't get it sometimes. What does that mean? That means that you ask for something and your only reason for asking for it is for your personal enjoyment. It's just all about you. I want that food. I want that car. I want that, you know, money or whatever it is, just for my personal enjoyment, just for me.
It's more than that. It's why do you ask for the healing? Why do you ask for the removal of pain?
Right.
If it's just for you,
right.
It's the wrong thing.
Yeah. You know, everything is supposed to, the Bible says that we are to do everything for the glory of God, and we're to do everything to serve God and serve others. So, a legitimate question was asked then. Is there no place then for doing things for self? What about recreation? And what about, you know, food? You know, should we only eat carrot sticks and tofu and such? And I said, no, but what you have to ask is, why do you do what you do? Great thing I heard one time from Russell Dennis Jr., president down at Heritage, is he said, young men, rest time is not waste time. You see, I've found, as I've continued to study this, that much of what you do remains the same, but the why of it changes. Why do we lay down to rest? Because we like how it feels, or because we want to be refreshed to the service of God and others? Why do we eat? To fulfill our lust for food? To just eat, eat, eat? Or to make ourselves strong so that we can serve God and others. So you need to take rest time so you can refresh yourself. You need to eat, because if you don't, you will die. And you won't have the strength to serve God and others. You need to do these things. But the why changes. So, you know, Heidi, thank you for adding the negative side, you know, asking to be relieved of the negative, because Heidi at one point, she was suffering from a severe migraine headache. She gets those. She has inherited some hormonal issues, and one of the things that happens is periodically she gets these crippling headaches. And I was praying for her, and what I prayed was I said, Father, if it should please you, please relieve Heidi of this headache that she might not be hindered in her ability to serve you and others according to your word. You know, the why changes. You know, not, dear God, please, you know, heal Heidi because, you know, this puts her in a bad mood, and I don't want to have to deal with that. But dear God, please heal her if it pleases you. Always I like to frame my requests in if it pleases you. Because he's God, he's my master, and whatever he decides is fine with me. But I like to frame my requests if it pleases you. And then I say, so that she will be unhindered in her ability to serve you. When I had to do a lot of rushing around this evening before I got here, Lawrence's car broke down. And so I didn't have to work at the warehouse the last couple of days, so I let him borrow my van. So he dropped it off, but he lives west of Avon on 36 a bit, west a bit. I guess Danville, I think, maybe. And so I had to take him home. So I drove him home, got back, jumped out of the van, ran inside, prayed with the children, kissed them, told them goodnight, ran over, got Mrs. Coy, and came back. But when I prayed with them, what I said was, "Dear Heavenly Father, please be with us tonight and give us good rest that we may wake up tomorrow ready to serve you and others." So the why needs to change. Why do we do what we do? It needs to be to serve God and others. So when we ask for a prayer request, if you can't think of how does this serve God and others, then frankly, you ought to set that aside and pray for something that you can pray. Dear God, please answer this prayer request because it'll help me serve you and it'll help me serve others. You know, pray for Lawrence. God commands him to work and labor and provide for himself and earn an income so he can provide for himself and be able to help others. In our society and with his current living conditions, that'll be very difficult for him without a vehicle. So please pray that God provide him a means of transportation, not so that he can boast about the cool truck he has or go mudding or whatever, but so that he is better able in our society to serve God and others. All right, Pastor, did you want to say anything else?